Good morning. Choir, that was over the top. That was great. I mean, really, really good. Just, it don't get any better than that. You've done a great job. And I know today, as well as you, that I am just a sinner saved by grace. And the reason for that is because a Redeemer lives. And I hope that we can all say that today. It's good to see everyone that's here with us this morning. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad to have you. Don't feel like a visitor. Feel at home and worship with us as we come together this morning to lift up the name of Christ and worship Him. I started to say something about this prior to shaking hands. Today is Pastor Appreciation Day, and I want to thank all of you in advance for everything, and the food that's over in the fellowship hall, I've done walked by and looked at it, but I do appreciate it very much. And then the thing that I wanted to tell you was that it is Pastor's Appreciation Day, and I absolutely ran out without a watch today. And I started to say something prior, but I was afraid when during the handshaking that there would be six watches laying up here on the desk for me, so just bear with me if you would, please. Look in the book of Jonah. That's where we're going to look at today. Everybody loves a good fish story, right? Sure. Book of Jonah. It's towards the end. There's a pew Bible right there if you'd like to read along. It's towards the end of the Old Testament. If you find Ezekiel, Jeremiah, those guys, just keep turning and find that big book of Obadiah. You're right there at it. Jonah, there is layers and layers of things that you and I can learn from Jonah and what transpired in his life. I'm going to read just a few verses at the beginning of the first chapter of the book of Jonah. And we're going to look at several as we go along throughout this chapter. It's a narrative story. Jonah's a minor prophet. Doesn't mean that he was less significant than any of the other prophets or anything like that. It just means that he had less to say. He had his watch on that day. But what he says is great. He was a contemporary of Elisha. You can read about him just very briefly in Kings. We know that he was a preacher in Israel. And now God is going to call him something. God is going to place a call on his life to do something that he absolutely does not want to do. But listen to what it says. It says, now the word, this first verse. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down to it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now that's all we're going to read at this time. And I pray that we would keep our minds open and receptive to what the Lord might speak to each one of us today. How far does one need to go to get away from God? Or can you get away from God? Well, that's a rhetorical question, and it's just a question that I ask just to make you think. Doesn't really demand an answer. But how far do you have to go? How many of us have said in our life, and I would venture to say that probably most all adults that are in here this morning have made this very statement. I just need to get away. You ever said that? I just need to get away. Sometimes, you know, life just seemingly gets overwhelming, and sometimes parents just needs a break from the kids, and probably the kids need a break from the parents. I don't know. But sometimes we make statements like that. Sometimes, you know, I just need to get away. The pressure of life is just really strong. I just need to get away for a little while. Or sometimes in the workplace, you know, things is not going good, and maybe you just make the statement, I have got to get away from this place. You know, I'm just about to explode. It's just absolutely driving me crazy. I've got to get away for a little while. Well, that may work in life, but I want to tell you something. It won't work with God. You can't get away from Him. You cannot go far enough away. And then as a Christian, I would ask you this, who really wants to get away from God? But sometimes we do want to run from what God perhaps has called us to do because it sometimes doesn't sit very well with us, and we had just assumed to let someone else do it. Let God, you know, I just can't. I don't want to. I mean, he just, you know, he's just basically, God has called him to go do something, and Jonah says, no, I don't want to. That's basically what he's saying. Now, if we were to be honest, to some degree, probably every one of us has had a little bit of Jonah in us. I think that would be a fair statement. There's been times that perhaps, you know, how small it might have been, or even how great it might have been. We have all had times in our lives when God has called us to something, and we have just said, no, it's not me. I don't want to. It's just not me. Well, you can say no, and you can run, but you cannot run far enough. And you're going to see that in the life of Jonah, because even though Jonah does run, there's one thing that also happens to Jonah as he is running away from God. He keeps running into God. And you and I, sometimes in our lives, we can feel like that we can just keep running and running and running, and eventually we'll escape from Him. But I'll tell you what will happen. Instead of running away from Him, you'll continue to run into Him. Think about it like this. How many of you could remember, even in your, perhaps some of you could, I'm satisfied, attest to this story right here. Perhaps there was a time in your life when the Lord was dealing to you and He was placing the call of repentance on you. And you knew that you needed to make a decision for Christ. And you decided, well, I'm not really ready. And I'm basically, if the Lord bids you to come to Him and you say no, you're doing the same thing that Jonah done. And I have heard numerous stories throughout all of my ministry of people who have done that very thing. They said no, and they got out of the church. But you know what? The Lord was in the bed with you. You thought you could run away from Him, but you couldn't. You thought you could get far enough away, but you really couldn't. You woke up the next day, and perhaps you was going to go do this or go do that, and you thought that, well, surely this will get off my mind, and I won't have to deal with it, and boom, right there's the Lord. You know, you keep trying to run away from Him, but really and truly you keep running into Him. And that's exactly what happened in the life of Jonah. He kept trying to run away from God, and he was running away from God, but he kept running into God. So I'm saying to all of us today that we may try to run away from God, we may try to get away from Him, but we're going to be just like Jonah, and you're going to keep running in to God. And now there is a couple of things that I want to tell you just real briefly about this story so you understand. And when you understand what is happening in that day, you better understand what is happening in our day. Listen to what God has sent him to. Now, do you know what? It's easy to preach to the choir. Everybody familiar with that saying? You've said it sometime or another. I know you have. Well, you're preaching to the choir. You know, you've heard that. In other words, that would be someone that would be pretty much in agreement with what the statement that you're saying and what you're saying. So it's always an easy thing to preach to the choir. It is not an easy thing to preach to people who absolutely despise you, who absolutely hate you, who cannot stand you. And that is exactly what Ninevites were to God's people. They were a sworn enemy. They were a ruthless type of people. I want to read to you something that I ran across in studying about this. And this was what was found in an inscription on a temple wall in the city of Nimrod. You've heard of that. That's over in the Middle East. It was in an area, it's the same area that we're reading about right here, the exact same area. This area where the Ninevites were would be what is today modern day Iraq. Now listen to what was said about those Ninevites. And you'll understand why they were such an enemy. One inscription from a temple in the city of Nimrod records the fate of the leaders of the city of Surah on the Euphrates River, who rebelled from and were conquered by King Ashurbanipal, if I said his name right. Now listen to the ruthlessness of this king, okay? Now I know that some of you sitting here, you're thinking, well, my goodness, preacher, this isn't preaching, this is a history lesson. Listen to me, stay with me, and you'll understand exactly where I'm going with all of this. Listen to what this man said. I built a pillar at the city gate, and I filleted, now listen to this, filleted, now he's not talking about his fish story, okay? I filleted all the chief men who had revolted. Do you understand what that's saying that this man done? He skinned people alive. That's how ruthless this king was. Flayed all the chief men who had revolted. I covered the pillar with their skins. Some, now listen to this, some I walled up inside the pillar. Now, I would assume that that means that they were still alive and placed within a wall. Some I impaled upon the pillar on stakes. Such punishments were not uncommon. Furthermore, inscriptions recording these various acts of retribution were displayed throughout the empire to serve as a warning. Yet this official sanctioned cruelty seemed to have had the opposite effect. Though the Assyrians and their armies were respected and feared, they were most of all hated, and subjects of their empire were almost always in a constant state of rebellion. Now, I know some of you saying here today, oh, preacher, what in the world has that got to do with any of us today? It's got a lot to do with every one of us. Because when you understand that, you better understand the culture. Where will you find people today that still utterly despises you and I? That very same place. In fact, if you were to take your iPhone, iPad, computer, whatever you want to do, go home this afternoon and just type in most ruthless countries in the world today and see what comes up on your computer screen. Do you know where I guarantee you'll be in the top five of those? Now, some of them are places like Mexico and South America today, primarily because of the drug cartel and things of that nature. But when you get over into the Middle East area, you are going to find this very place is still a very ruthless type of people. Well, what does that say to you and I today? Or what? How do we understand, or what kind of understanding does it give to you and I today? Well, it just reiterates to me of how truthful the Word of God is, because those folks really and truly, all of these thousands of years, their mindset has absolutely not changed. They truly despise and hate the people of God. So now you have a little bit better understanding of why Jonah says no to God. I mean, how many of us, listen, I'm going to tell you something. In my own personal life, I do my best to go wherever the Lord sends me. I cannot tell you today, I hope that I'd be willing to go. I hope that I'd do what God called me to do. But if the Lord woke me up tomorrow morning and said, Ronnie, I want you to go be a missionary in Iraq, I don't know what my answer would be. What would yours be? I hope that I could get to the place that I didn't. And I'm going to tell you what, I guarantee you one thing about it, though. I would have the same encounter that Jonah had. I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God who had spoken in a voice that I heard and literally understood that it was God that was calling me to that. It ain't going to be one of them things when I just say, I sort of feel like this is where the Lord's leading me. I'm going to know that that's where the Lord is leading me. Because you see, Jonah's life, he had preached to his people, and yes, there was a lot of conflict and a lot of falling away of God's people in the day and in the time of Jonah. But now God has called him to go out to a people that are sworn enemies, that are ruthless people. It's not an easy thing. We know the whole story and everything. But Jonah had no idea that the people were going to repent. God just sent him with a message. He had no idea what the response to the message that he is sent with. He has absolutely no idea what their response is going to be. So you sort of understand, I hope, a little bit about Jonah and why perhaps he was a little reluctant, even though God called him to go to that place. You can understand his reluctance to go there. So he goes, so he gets up and instead of heading toward and going to where God has called him to, he goes down to a place that's called Joppa. It's a seaport area, a town on the Mediterranean Sea. Now, do you remember, I believe, and I hope I'm telling you this right, the chapter number, but I believe it's chapter number 9 in the book of Acts. Do you remember where Peter was when the sheet was let down, or when he looks inside that sheet, and it's really God letting Peter know that Gentiles are okay, that Gentile people can come to faith? He's in Joppa. He's in the very same place. Isn't that ironic that here was an Old Testament character who was in Joppa getting on a boat to leave and get away and not go towards a city that God has called him to go preach a message to these people who are sworn enemies to the people, God's people. And yet, Joppa is unique in history in the New Testament. The gospel and the kingdom of God is revealed to Peter there to understand that the truth of the gospel is that the gospel is for all of humanity and for all of mankind. God, it was God's will to be forgiven towards those Ninevites. And listen, this is the place that you and I also have to come to and understand. It is not my place, nor is it your place to dictate what God chooses to do with any group of people. You know, sometimes it's so easy to make this statement right here. And perhaps we've all, to some degree, been guilty of this. Well, you know, I don't know why God don't just destroy all of them and wipe them off the face of the earth. Well, His mercy, His grace, and His love. The gospel was for everyone. We sometimes forget. This is just hypothetical, I guess you might even say, but there's a good chance if Paul would have come along today, he might have been involved in ISIS. I don't know. He was just that much of a rebellious towards God and to the church in the beginning, as a lot of those folks perhaps are today. So do you understand, do you have a little bit of understanding of why Jonah perhaps just absolutely did not want to go? In fact, he goes in the totally opposite direction of where God wants him to go. Jonah heads Tarshish, is towards Spain. He's heading in the totally opposite direction of where God has called him to. But there's one thing about it. This is what I told you. You can go through life and Even though God may call us to something sometimes that we don't like, and we may feel as though that we can run from Him. And you may be here today, and you may be running from the high call of Christ to a place of repentance in your life, and you have run, and you have run, and you have turned and went out the back doors of this church, no telling how many times, or some other church somewhere. But I want to tell you something. The same thing that happened with Jonah is going to happen to you. You will run into God again somewhere. What happened? He gets on that boat, and really he thinks, all right, I've got it made now. I'm getting out of town. I'm getting away. Remember what I said? Sometimes we just feel like, you know, I just need to get away. Well, that's what Jonah felt like. I just need to get away. And he thought for a while there, I guess he thought, man, I've got this whip. This boat is sailing out of port. I'm going in the totally different direction of where God has called me to. And everything is going to be all right. God can send somebody else over there to those Ninevites. I absolutely do not want to go. But he gets going out to sea. And what happened? God comes along in the form of a storm. You wonder sometimes why life rages. The question I would ask you, are you running from God? He got out there to sea, thought he was away, thought he was going to get away from what God called him to do. And when you look at verse number 4, just immediately after where I read, but the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea. Who was in the wind? Who was in the raging of the sea? God was. He encounters God again. He thought he could run away from Him, but he keeps running into Him. And you and I, we can think all that we want that we can run away from God, but I guarantee you, you're going to keep running into Him. Just like Jonah did. Jonah runs into it, and these guys that are used to being out to sea and everything, evidently there was just a little something different about this storm. They become fearful. And old Jonah is down there in the belly of that ship asleep. Well, I don't know. I could find it kind of ironic that he could sleep. But I guess he thought within himself, perhaps he may have been exhausted from running. I don't know. He could have been. That he was, you know, getting out of town so fast that he's just flat give out. I don't know. That's a thought. But maybe he thought in his mind that, you know what, I'm away from God. It's all, I can just clear my mind of all this, and I'm just going to lay down and take a sleep, take a rest. Well, then, you know, I really think God works through the life of this skipper or captain of the ship, whatever you'd call him back then, I don't know. Comes down there and he says, arise and wake, O sleeper. What have you done to us? What have you caused all of this? And it says that they begin to call on their gods, little g. They begin to pray to their gods. And wouldn't get no relief. Finally, they have this conversation with Jonah. Jonah tells them who he is and what's going on. And they said, well, just... Jonah says, eventually the narrative of the story goes, well, just throw me into the sea. Well, really and truly, the people on the ship, those mariners and everything, they didn't really want to do that. They were a little bit, I guess, afraid of the judgment that might be placed on them for doing something like that. They tried to row and get back into land, and it just wasn't happening. Jonah said, eventually he says, just throw me overboard. It'll be all right. Well, sure enough, they throw Jonah overboard and all of a sudden the sea calms. And I guess that Jonah thought within himself, this is it. I mean, you know, thrown out into the sea, you're probably not going to survive. In fact, it's probably Jonah's death wish. You know, he can get out of the whole thing, get out of everything. Just throw me into the sea. That's how far I'm going to get away from it. I'm just going to end it all, perhaps. And then God shows up again. What does the Bible tell you now? That God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Do you see what I said to begin with? How far can you run? Or can you get away from God? Jonah, in all the distance that he is making, all the progress that he is making to get away from where it all began at, and yet he still keeps running in to God. You can run away from God, but you're going to keep running into God. I'm going to really stop right there. Perhaps next Sunday or in a few Sundays, we may look at some more of the life of Jonah. Because there's layers and layers that gives you and I greater understanding of what it is for us to be servants of God and to understand the call that God places on every single one of us. And the thing that I want us to leave here with today is this, is Jonah could not get far enough. You cannot get far enough. You may think you can. Jonah could not get far enough. God was still there no matter where Jonah went. That's why I said God will get in bed with you. If you think you escape him today, if you think that you leave here this morning and you know that God through the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and to your life and he's called you to a place of repentance. Or if you're here today and you're a Christian and God has called you to a certain something in your life, I have no idea what it is, but if he has called you to it and you're sitting there thinking, well, the preacher ain't got his watch on today, but I know he's getting close to the end. He's got to be, right? And we're going to sing a hymn of invitation in a few minutes. We're going to all stand and sing that song. And buddy, if I can just worm my way through that hymn of invitation, if I can just make it through that, if I can just endure a couple of verses of song, I can walk out the back doors of Hightower Church and it won't bother me no more. You couldn't be any more wrong than that statement right there. Because listen, he'll get in the car with you when you ride down the road. Now listen, folks, there's been people who has come to Christ in the car because they got in the car and was going down the road, getting away. Thought they were getting away, but they couldn't get away. There's been people that's left out it's vacation time, you know. Man, we're going up to the mountains for a few weeks and I'm going to forget about everything that was going on down there in the foothills of the North Georgia mountains. Well, I guarantee you when you get up there, he'll be there. God will be there. Or you can say, well, we're going to head down to the beach for a few days and I'm going to enjoy those waves and the sand and the sun and everything is just going to be great because I'm away. I've slipped away from God. I want to tell you what, he'll be on that beach. He'll be right there. You can't elude him. You can't run away from him. You can't go far enough. So the best thing that any of us can do, even when it's a situation with people that we don't necessarily have much in common with, or even when it's a situation that we think this is absolutely not what I want to do in my life, the best thing you can do is just learn to go with what God gives you and follow Him. Because it'll always work. It was very hard for Jonah to get to that place. It's hard for you and I. Even as Christian people, it's hard for us to come to the place where we accept and realize, you know what? God knows best for my life. It's not an easy thing. Why? Because we like to pick and choose what we think is the absolute best for our life. Or we are a lot of times like Jacob. We scheme, we connive, and we make our plans, and then we ask God to bless our plans that we have chosen out And somewhere along the way, we call that the will of God. And it's not. It's not the will of God. It's what we schemed. It's what we plotted. It's what we planned. And then we ask God to bless it. That's exactly what Jacob done in his life. The best case scenario in all of us' life is to understand that we cannot run from God. You can't get that far away. Steve, come with us a song, please. Congregation, would you please stand? If you are here today and you've been running from God, you may have been running a year. You may have been running 2 years. You may have been running 3 years, 4 or 5 years. And you know what? Every time God keeps showing up, you keep thinking that you're getting away from Him. And boom, there He is again. You think you go this far away and you've gotten away from Him. Boom, there He is again. You just can't get away from God. I want you to think about in your own personal life today, are you running from God? Are you running away from God? Would you be willing this morning to step out towards this altar, not coming to Hightower Church, not coming to Ronnie McCormick, but coming to Christ, making a move toward Him, not towards me, but an absolute move towards the One who has placed that call on you in your life. While we sing this hymn of invitation, if you are here, you've never trusted Christ as Savior in your life, you may say, well, preacher, I was raised in a Christian home. Well, that's just a cultural Christian. A Christian. It's good. It's a good thing to be able to say. But that doesn't make you a Christian. And there's so many cultural Christians in the world today because they make statements just like that. Well, preacher, I was raised in a good Christian home. And mom and dad, we went to church growing up. That's not what I ask you. I ask you if you've made a personal commitment in your life to Christ, to trust Him as Lord and Savior. I want to give you that opportunity this morning while we sing this hymn of invitation.